I feel the pull. Oh, I hear the call, and I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Lord, please come, take control.
Feel the pull tonight, you are one of the most blessed people in all the world. If you can feel the tug and the pull in your spirit to stay close to the Lord, to live right, to have a good testimony, to have a good character, you are one blessed individual. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now let's give Jesus a real big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church on a rainy Saturday night. What a privilege it is. Play some of that, brethren, if you will. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, what a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's look at our prayer request. I want to remember Christian Davis in prayer. Sick, unable to be in the service, flu-like symptoms. Let's remember him tonight as we pray. Sister Linda Phillips wants us to remember her sister Nora. She is in the hospital. She's 80 years old, broke her hip, in a lot of pain. So we certainly want to remember her tonight as we pray. Also, their son-in-law in the hospital with a bad heart condition. Let's remember those needs tonight as we pray. While I'm thinking about it, my sister Beulah has just come down with, I think they call it MRSA, just a real bad situation there. And just if you would remember her in prayer tonight, just a lot of infection, different things going on. So let's remember her tonight, if you would, in prayer. We'll remember Sister Brenda Collins. She fell down some stairs in a lot of pain. Let's pray for her tonight. I want to pray for Brother Jamie Hayden. He's not feeling well tonight, unable to be in the service. And then some of you may know this already, but some of you may not. We'll remember our Brother Perry Green. He has cancer, and they've given him 3 to 6 months to live. So we certainly want to remember Brother Perry. If there's a seasoned veteran of this message, Brother Terry, it's Brother Perry Green. And so we just want to pray for that brother and that assembly, that family, that the Lord would just let his perfect divine will be done. We just want to fall in love with Jesus. And I believe if we'll fall in love with Jesus, we'll love everybody the way we're supposed to. Don't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother David Swanson, I want you to come tonight, pray over these needs. We'll commit these things unto the Lord. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service tonight. I believe we're going to have a good time, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother David. God bless you.
Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Lord, once again, to welcome you into our midst. We're grateful to come, Lord, and gather together. We could go on and on, all the things we're so thankful for. You've done so much for us, Lord. You've helped us. You've shown this evening light message to us. You've brought us, saved us from all different walks of life. And we've come here gathered, Lord, for one purpose, is to worship you, to receive correction, Lord, from your word, to whatever our needs are, Lord, in the congregation this side. We just pray that you just meet them. I pray for these requests, Lord, each one's special, each one's needy. Each one, Lord, you know every detail about them. You know each situation, and you know just what it takes, Lord, to meet each need. So we just come believing that you're more than able, Lord, and that you'd help us, that we wouldn't have anything that would hinder our faith, Lord. It takes faith for these promises to be made real. And so we just pray we lay everything aside and just join together as a body and believe for these needs for our brothers and sisters. Be merciful, Lord. I pray you're a God that's rich in mercy. We just give you praise. We pray now the rest of the service that we just enter in, forget about anything that might have happened today or this week, and just concentrate and ask that you just open our eyes, Lord, to see the hidden things in your word that you have for each one of us. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother David. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting with us tonight in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Our brothers and sisters around the world that are streaming this service tonight, may God bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. He looked beyond my fault, and he saw my need. And he was the only one that was big enough to take care of your and my need. Do you believe that with all your heart? You was in bad shape. I was in bad shape. But somebody bigger than my problem got a hold of my life. And he fixed it. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Somebody say hallelujah. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view the cross where I'm
do not know.
I do not know
just how He came to love me so.
Hallelujah.
He looked beyond all my faults and saw my need.
And I shall
sing a little bit of this old song, Brother Harry. I'm working on a building. Aren't you glad you're a building in progress tonight? You're not done yet, but you ain't what he started with. You have made progress. Look at somebody and say, you have made progress. And if you're looking at somebody and you're down, they say, I pray that you'll make progress. Oh, God is good to us, church, isn't he? Yes, he is. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. For we're working on a building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building. For my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. For my Lord, for my Lord.
If I were a sinner,
oh,
I'd tell you
what I do.
I'd quit all my sinning and start working on a building.
Oh, we're working on a building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord.
If I were a preacher, I'd tell you what I would do.
Well, I'd just keep right on preaching.
Yes,
and work on the building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building. For my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building.
Have a praise if you love him.
Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. Brother Joel Brown gets ready to come and give us a song tonight. We'll go right on into the service. Brother David Siler is going to be ministering for you tonight, for us tonight and in the morning. And just looking forward to what the Lord would have for us. I believe it'll be something good, don't you? Let's enjoy Brother Joel Brown as he sings.
I love this song, and you know, it's, I guess, well, if you're tired of it, just listen again. How's that? The trials of this world were getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear. And I was on, you've been there, the verge of just giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there. But something keeps holding me. Oh, every day I see, helping me faithfully to overcome each and every trial, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. It's a reality, for something keeps holding me. You know what? Satan, he lay before me his temptation. It was his desire to steal away my joy, my faith, my hope. But I have found, just right in the nick of time, this revelation in the Word of God. It was just what I needed to keep me in this race. Something keeps holding me every day. I see, helping me faithfully each and every trial, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Yeah, it's a reality, for Jesus is holding me. I'm so glad. Now Satan lay before, you know it, sing it with me, his temptation. It was his desire to steal away my faith. But I have found, if I just wait a little bit longer, it will be a revelation, and it will be just what I need to keep me in the arms of His grace. Something, something, something keeps holding me every day. I see, helping me faithfully to overcome each and every trial, guiding me constantly and giving me victory. He's a reality, for Jesus is holding me.
nothing keeps holding me. He's my reality, and He, Jesus, the man who walked on the water and calmed the raging storm, is holding me.
He keeps practicing, he'll learn how to sing, sure as the world. Amen. Let's stand tonight, if you will. We're going to go on into the service. Brother David Siler is going to come and bring us the word of the Lord. We're going to pray for our brother, aren't we? Amen. Brother Harry, I want you to do us a favor tonight. We'll help you. The dove leads the lamb. Can you do that for us? Just a little bit of it? If we'll help you? All right. Just act like you're helping. Let's enjoy this tonight.
The Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. The elect to be and stir inside their heart. Our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. The bride is making preparation. She's hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the lamb once again. Fine linen, clean and white, it's granted to her. She's washed in the blood of God's own Son. With a righteousness that's not her own, she's just before His throne, where she'll reign with her Lord forevermore. Hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the lamb once again. Oh, evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's here. Of her King.
Amen.
The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the lamb once again.
Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts now. Heavenly Father, how we so thank You tonight for Your grace and mercy. To know, Lord, that Your children has come back to their position. Lord, and how we are so longing for that day. Lord, as Brother Donnie preached about Wednesday night, that when we will come to our millennium reign. It's hard for me to imagine that some people think that we're in it now. But Lord, I believe that You're elect, You're chosen, the predestinated. Lord, we are so longing to be in a body that'll never get sick. To be in a body that'll never be discouraged. How we long, Lord, for that day. Father, I pray that tonight, may You come and help us, Lord, as we, Lord, endeavor to look into Your word. I ask, Lord, that you would anoint every one of us tonight, Father. Lord, don't just anoint me as the preacher. We all need to be gathered together, as Paul said in the book of Ephesians, caught up in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For the prophet said that's where the believer's positions in heavenly places. So tonight, Lord, we pray that may you just charge the atmosphere tonight in this building. Lord, I pray, Lord, may the enemy, may he flee tonight by the word of God. Lord, if there's sickness that's attacked your children's body, I pray tonight, may the preaching of the word, Lord, may it cast the enemy from our midst tonight. May you come, Lord. May there be liberty among us, we ask now, in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles this evening, we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Certainly appreciate all the wonderful singing. Appreciate that song tonight from Brother Harry and Brother Joel. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 37 was where we'd like to start at. I want to read down just a few verses of scripture. Try not to be before you very long this evening. Something the Lord has placed upon our hearts that we have looked at. Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. He caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Lo, they were very dry. But I don't want to be at that church. How about you? And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and said, Lord, God, you're the only one that knows that these bones can live. And again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, saying to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring your flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together. Bone of his bone, I mean to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, there was no breath in them. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the words. You may be seated. For the next few moments, what I would like to speak on, the Lord to help us, and you will help me tonight for a few moments. I'd like to speak on the signs of a dead church. I trust we're not guilty of this tonight. But I believe that preventive preaching must be done to make sure that even though everybody else is on fire, this is a personal thing tonight. God ain't saving us as a church. He's saving us as individuals tonight. To get our minds going in the right direction, I want to quote from you out of the spoken original seed, and again, the Ephesian church age. Brother Ram talks about how that a seed has to never be mixed with nothing. And Brother Ram says that when you mix it, it brings forth a hybrid crop. And a hybrid crop is a dead crop. As far as rebreeding, it won't rebreed itself because God, it can't because God said so. It has to bring forth of its kind, and you've mixed it. And you can see the church right there, why, where we're going to wind up. It dies there. For it cannot bring forth of its kind because it's mixed. You can't do nothing with it because it's dead. It's finished. That's why each generation has its own revival, a chance at the word. Oh, that sovereign God, John Wesley group would raise up, and these starch washed Methodists of today will answer for it. I'm going somewhere tonight, hang on. Luther will raise up, the Catholics will raise up back there, Irenaeus, Martin, Polycarp, and all those will have to stand for the judgment for hybriding the word of God to dogmas. That group of Lutherans that follow Luther's revival answered the same thing, and the group of Baptists that follow John Smith's revival will do the same thing. Alexander Campbell will do the same thing, and the Pentecostals will do the same thing. That's the original revival, and when the Holy Ghost fell, it called out of people, and God's trying to get his word to it, and they organize it and sit over here and denominate it, and they died right there. That's why each generation has to have its own revival. Each generation has its revival. God raises him up a man, sets him with the word, and starts out for a message for that age. As soon as that man's taken off the scene, somebody else catches it and hybrids it. And it's usually preachers. Hybriding first started in Eden and Genesis. In the beginning there, it ends up in the book of Revelations and the second coming. Remember correctly, that's why each generation has its own revival. It gets a chance at the word. They hybrid it instead of taking it on. They go somewhere else. Again, Ephesian church age. And history keeps repeating itself. In the generation of Israel. Now this is what we're going to get into because this is Ezekiel 37. In the generations of Israel, we see revival one generation only to see the fires fading in the next. And in the third generation, embers may be glowing slightly, but the fourth, there's no vestige whatsoever of that original flame. And then God lights the fire again. Man can't do it, but God does it. And the same process is repeated. It's simply a manifestation of the truth. God has no grandchildren. He didn't have it Paul's day, and he don't have them today. But you can't make it in on somebody else's coattail tonight. You can't make it in on the preacher's coattail. You yourself has to have your very own experience with God tonight. That's exactly right. Notice paragraph 88. The fervent desire to please God, the passion to know His Word, the cry of reaching out in the Spirit. All begins to fade instead of that church being on fire for God. It's cooled off and it's become a bit formal. That's what's happening back here. The Ephesians are getting a bit formal. The abandonment of God was dying out in the people. Now notice, they wasn't too careful about what God thought of them as they begin to be careful about what the world thought about them. Notice paragraph 89. That's the cycle of revival and death has never failed. Brother, if it ain't never failed then, it won't fail in this age. All you have to do is recall the last move of God in the Spirit when men and women dressed like Christians. And the church said amen. They went to church. They prayed all night. Ouch, owe me or something now. He said they took to the street corners. They weren't ashamed of the manifestation of the Spirit. They left their old dead churches. Brother, if it's dead, there ain't no sense of being there. If there ain't no life there, there ain't no sense of being there. If there ain't no move of God there, there ain't no sense of being there. Hallelujah. They left their old dead churches and worshiped in homes, in old store buildings. God has a way of humbling His people. Notice on down the end of that paragraph, they soon begin to read books that weren't fit to read. They let down the bars and the goats came in and took over. He didn't just come in, they took over. The cry of joy was gone. The freedom of the Spirit was gone. They kept on with form, but the fire had died down and the blackness of the ashes was all about left. And Israel in Ezekiel 37 had came to the same place where the Ephesian church age and every other age had come to themselves. When God would do something great among them, everybody would get excited. Everybody was on fire for God. There was a move of God. The Spirit of God was moving. But you realize that after God would do something great, the longer they got away from that miracle, and the further down the road they got from what God had done for them, they become lax in their experience with God. Couldn't we preach there tonight? The further they got away from it, the more lax they got, the more backslidden they got. They allowed things to creep in, Brother Bram said. And Brother Bram tells us how that the longer they would go, their fire died down. Brother, we can't afford tonight for our fires to die down. We can't afford to go back to the coals. We can't afford to go back to the ashes. We are on the brink of the coming of the Lord. We are right here ready for a millennium reign. There's no time to go back into ashes. There's no time to let the fire die down. Israel had got into captivity. And they was actually underneath a Babylonian reign. And the Chaldeans, and I'll just tell you, some of the Babylonian ways begin to rub off on the children of Israel. Let me just say this. While they was in bondage, there was always those that was among them who allowed their captors to have their ways rub off on them. Ooh, hallelujah. And what happened was, remember, they began to forget what God had done. They forgot the greatness of serving God. They forgot the joy and the pleasure of coming to the house of God. They forgot the miracles and the signs and the wonders. They forgot what God did among them. Amen. And all of a sudden you have those, like it was when Israel come out of Egypt. There was those that come out and they begin to complain against Moses and say, why didn't you just leave us down there in Egypt? Why didn't you just leave us there? We was happy there. We was happy in the mud pits.
We was happy while we was down there getting beat. We was happy down there making straw and clay and trying to make brick for Pharaoh. We was happy down there. Not all of us wasn't. Everybody ain't happy in bondage. There may be some, but not all of us tonight. What happened was Egyptian ways rubbed off on them. Amen. You've got to make sure Egyptian ways ain't rubbing off on you tonight. Amen. You see that same parallel as it moved from then and right on down through the scripture. Israel would go into revival and then that revival would die down. God would light the fire again. They would go into revival. But before long, the fire began to die down until there wasn't no fire at all. And that same parallel runs right to the church tonight. God sends a deliverer. And for a while, everything is fine. For a while, everybody's excited about it. For a while, nobody misses church. But the longer you go, the further away you get from that original flame. And the further away you get from the flame, the more you cool off. Preach, Brother David. Come on, somebody. Do you see that same parallel, the ages? It's right here tonight. We battle against that. God sends a deliverer, but people forget what God done for us. God sends a messenger for a while. Everything's fine. Everybody's on fire, but it don't last that way. The reason why is the message becomes common to us. But you know our problem is around the message? Too many people has allowed the message to become common to us. We're used to hearing the taste. We're used to hearing Brother Ram sin. We're used to coming to church. We get used to it. Can you imagine a move of God becoming common to the people? Can you imagine God healing the sick becoming common? And what they tried to do was they tried to preserve what God did. They want to box God in. They want to can God and try to preserve the revival. You don't have to preserve it. There's enough for every one of us. Because as long as the God's alive, the fire's alive. And what happened was, the church got cold. Amen, somebody. They preserved it and mixed it and the church got cold. No amens. No amens. No hallelujahs. No glory to God. No shall the king that can't. Come on, somebody. They became cold and dead and formal and powerless. Amen. They become churchgoers and not participators. Whew. Go ahead and sit there and look spiritual. I'm telling you tonight, I'm here to preach tonight. Amen, somebody. They just sit and watch besides allowing God to come down and move upon them and touch them and change them. Which brings me to Ezekiel 37. The valley of dry bones. You realize Ezekiel was caught up in the spirit. And John the Revelator was caught up in the spirit. And John was caught up to see the condition of the church. And Ezekiel was caught up in the spirit to see the condition of Israel. And when he began to look, he what he sees is, it's unbelievable. It's a valley of dry bones. God ain't showing him a church that's on their knees. God ain't showing him a church that's in revival. God showed him a valley full of dry bones. Notice the Bible tells us and the scripture says, it's not a valley of dry bones. It's the valley of dry bones. Woo, glory. But I can tell you something tonight. I've been in the valley before. And it's the place I don't want to be at. Amen. We've all been there. And I'll tell you, that's where Satan wants every one of us tonight. He wants you in the valley. Not a valley. He wants you to stay in the valley tonight. He don't want you excited about the word of God. He wants you to be excited. Maybe because of what happens in the world and what infects you today and what really moves and makes you excited. But the real fervent desire to please God leaves. I don't believe Brother Hammond would have preached this had not we had to be affected by what he's saying tonight. Can you imagine the worst place for a church to be at? A valley of dry bones. That means they was white. The bones had become white, which means the church has been there for a long time. The impact of the sun has so many effects, but once you die, the sun still has an effect on you. It causes you to dry out twice as fast. What can make you grow and be vibrant and have a move of God and allow the seed of God to be able to grow at a rapid rate? If you die, it'll cause you to rot twice as quick. And here they are in a valley of dry bones. Dry. Dry bones. Very dry bones. If it's dry, that means there ain't been no rain in a while. Come on, somebody. Let me just tell you something. We've all been there. Spiritual droughts. We've all been there. There ain't no big eyes or little use tonight. If you're a believer, you've been in that place before. The valley is dry. And it's a valley full of bones. I come to tell you tonight, we've all been through spiritual droughts. And when we are in the valley, there's no place worse for a spiritual drought than when you're in the valley. I've come to tell you, if you're in a dry and thirsty land, I know where some water's at tonight. Amen. If you feel like you're in a valley and you're needing a drink, I know where we can drink from tonight. And the water I'm talking about is not a water that'll only satisfy you for a couple days. It won't satisfy you till the preacher gets back. It won't satisfy you till the next revival. Brother, the water I'm talking about, you drink from this well, you'll never thirst again. This well ain't ever went dry. This well ain't never ran low. You don't have to worry about canning it and conserving it. The water will never run out. I said there's plenty tonight. If you're in the valley, there's plenty. If you're discouraged, there's plenty. The water I'm talking about, it's bubbling. It's bubbling up tonight in a group of believers. Amen, somebody. It's not in some geographical location. It's within the soul of every son and daughter of God that's been born again by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost tonight. There's an artesian well on the inside of you. It's bubbling up joy. It's bubbling up peace. It's bubbling up happiness tonight. It's an artesian well and it's bubbling. But why sit at a well and not drink from the well? A preacher friend of mine was going to Mexico here a few years back. And while he was there, the brother stepped outside of his little village there in remote parts of Mexico. And he had a stick, a long stick with 2 5-gallon buckets tied to the stick, so he could put this on his shoulders and go down to the creek and fill his buckets up. Because they didn't have running water. So all the brothers went with him and followed him down there. As they was on their way down, they passed by a well. And the brother asked us, well, why would we go all the way down here to the creek to get water when there's a good well right here? And the brother said the reason why is because they built that well a few years back and the well went dry. The brother went down, got his water, and come back. And while the brother was sitting there meditating about that well, the Spirit of the Lord moved on him. And he went down, told him to go to the creek. He filled up a 5-gallon bucket of water. And he come back to that well. And he just poured the water inside the well. The brothers got around the well and prayed. And they left and they went back. And a few short months later, the brother that was there had come to the States for a visit. And he told the church, I need to let you know something. I drank a cup of coffee from the water that came from that well. Not only has that well got water in it, but the well has literally overflowed itself and has run out on the ground. Brother, how can you expect God to do more for you if you are not pouring everything you got into this well? How can you expect God to overflow your well if you're not pouring something into it? You get nothing out of it unless you put something into it. They want God. Pour it on me, Lord. Give me everything you got. But they're not willing to sacrifice and pour into the well. And to this day, there is moss growing around the out parts of that well because the water is still running over the top of the well. These bones are dry. You ever been thirsty? No life in them. A nation that knew what it was to feel the presence of God come in their midst. Israel was a people to know the greatness of serving God. But now they're dry. No life in them. No worship. No singing. Well, we sing, but we're just lip syncing. We're not really getting into it. Preach, Brother David. Dry, cold, stale. And when it becomes stale, it becomes stagnated. And when it becomes stagnated, what could be refreshing at one point, once your water becomes stagnated, you can't drink it no more. At one time, they was alive. At one time, they had life. Can I bring it home? One time, they wouldn't miss church for nothing. Amen, somebody. At one time, they used to witness for God. At one time, they used to be so in love and so dedicated and so careful to what they did to make sure that they didn't do nothing to displease God. Don't you see, friends? This has come right around the ranks of our message. And just like Israel, if we're not careful, we'll allow our fires to die down. Amen. You realize, just like Israel, when they had the tabernacle in the wilderness, and they had the outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies. In that inner court, they had the candlesticks. And every church age was lit from the same oil. Hallelujah! And when you would march into the inner court, there was a type of the church ages. And the candlesticks was lit from one candle to the next, to the next. But you gotta make sure that the fire don't go out. Because in the tabernacle in the wilderness, somebody had to make sure that the candlestick stayed burning. He was called the keeper of the flame. Oh, glory to God. His job is to constantly check. His job is to constantly watch at the wind. And does it come underneath the curtains and move into the inner court and blow the flame out? His job is to make sure that the fire stays burning. Always watching. Always paying attention. Always conscious. Come on, somebody. Because sometimes great winds would come from the south. Sometimes great winds would come from the north and try to blow their fire out. Glory! So somebody had to watch them, brother and sister. There's not one person ordained today. Every individual, you must be the keeper of your own flame tonight. Hallelujah. It's not the pastor's job. It's not the deacon's job. It's not the evangelist's job. It's the responsibility of every person that's got a fire tonight. It's your responsibility. That means you can't come home from church on Sunday morning and expect it to still be burning on Wednesday. Woo, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah! You can't come home from church on Sunday morning and set your candle up on the shelf and expect it to be burning when you come back Wednesday night. Woo. I know somebody's fire burning. I can smell hide burning behind it. We are responsible from checking it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And every single day, we must keep the fire burning. Because this little light, it's mine. Amen, somebody. I said, this little light, it's mine. You may have one, but this one is mine. And if it's mine, I'm going to let it shine. Bones! These was just dry bones. Dead, dry bones. You ever been to a church like that? Watch as Brother Bram tries to warn us about some of these churches and the condition of the church. The signs of a dead church. Here's when the church, Brother Bram says, they believe theology. They're so calloused. They're so calloused. And drug back till you can't speak to them in no way. I can take a man over there never heard of God worshiping. I don't do more with him in 5 minutes than you can for a fellow that possesses to be a Christian. Watch this next statement. An old moss-back something that's hung along and had a lot of this embalming fluid jerk into his veins. The sign of a dead church is a church that has become embalmed. Because there's embalming doctrines around our message. Well, he gave it to me. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but I'm doing my part. Puts me in my... Now, notice an old moss back. Brother, I have no problem killing moss back deer, but I don't want to be a moss back Christian. Put me in mind of them old cold morgues. What would you think if God described this church as a cold morgue? One of them cold morgues. That's right. Settle down in there. Go in a morgue. Spiritual thermometer. Go 100 below 0. Brother, that is cold. Until you have to wade yourself in almost. You ever try to get into a cold river and it's so cold, you just want to just barely get in. And I mean, just barely get in and just maybe a little bit more. I'll never forget it. Many years ago, a sister came to my church and she was wanting to be baptized. And it was right dead in the middle of the river. And I thought, I ain't got it. If she wants it, we'll do it. But I don't want to do it. So we went down to the river. God bless her heart. 80-something years old. I waded out in that water. It was so cold, my mind was telling me, go back, go back, go back. And my spirit was saying, you can't go back, they're watching you. Brother, it was a battle. Woo, glory. I went out into that water. I got out there about waist deep. I could hear my knees and my teeth chattering. That godly sister marched right out there like it wasn't nothing. Turned right around, she said, I'm ready to be baptized. My body was numb. Pulled my handkerchief to put it over her mouth. And it wasn't out of the air, but just a few minutes and ice began to form on the handkerchief. Sister, I baptize you not in some titles. I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Amen. And the Bible said he would fill you full of the Holy Ghost. We put her down in that watery grave. Brother, you talking about cults? To find out that's the way some churches are. Brother, you go visit a church, you better be careful. You better wade in. I'm a little fanatic sometimes. I do. People don't think about me. They don't know what to do with me. But you better wade in some places. I'm not saying for a joke. I'm being honest with you. But it's the truth. Some of them know no more about God than stand up and say, well, now, I'll tell you. I believe it's all my goodness why you stay out of the kingdom of God and teach others to stay out too. They put some fluid in like taking a dead man to a morgue. They take all his blood out. Woo, glory. So they're trying to give him a religion that's bloodless. But there ain't no blood in it. They're lifeless. They're dead. Amen. That's what he said. He said they take all his blood out and put something in here. They're there to be sure that he's dead. Because if you ain't dead, they want to make sure you get dead. They don't want you disrupting what they got going on. It may have took them 10 years to get that church like that. And they don't want some Holy Ghost filled Pentecostal person coming to their church disturbing it. That's about the way they do. Take a little religion, put people's got with that little faith they got, inject some old theology into them, kills them worse and keeps them dead. Terrible. Resurrection of Lazarus, they pump out of him what God put in him. Puts me in mind going around them like a big old morgue. You know, out there, cold, dead place, icicles, and the spiritual thermometer about 90 below zero. A morgue. Again, gifts. The church today isn't needing power.
Amen.
Listen, it's needing faith to operate what power it has. You're not going to convince me, the ministry that we sit under, that there ain't power that comes with it. But we don't need more power. We need to know how to operate what God's already gave us. You've had so much embalming fluid pushed in that. The days of miracles passed. Some old cold morgue with the icicles, spiritual icicles hanging down. And I nearly below zero. And somebody in there with some dead fluid pumped in you to be sure that you stay dead. It's become such a place where the Spirit of God has been grieved. And any church that denies the supernatural, it'll die. Just as sure as I'm standing in the pulpit. First thing you know, you're getting some big morgue sitting out there, all of them dead. Some of these embalming fluids, so-called doctrines or creeds pumped into their veins where the Spirit of God ought to be running.
Amen.
Where the old church creed pumped in there, no wonder they're icy. Cold. Dead. Spiritual thermometer 90 below zero. Yeah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And everybody stretched their necks around like some kind of a goose or some want to know what said that. God help us tonight. Brother, there's something wrong when we're ashamed of somebody being enthused about what God's saying. Brother Jim, we say it all the time. We believe God speaks to us from this pulpit. And you expect for us to sit still and be calm and quiet while God is speaking lip to ear with us. And you expect us not to get excited about it. Brother, you need to sue your brain for non-support. Everybody stretched their neck around with some kind of goose and want to know what said that. Not who, what. Whew. Brother, what ain't happened to me? Who did? Woo, glory to God. It ain't what, it's who. Well, what happened to you? It wasn't a what, it was who happened to me. It's a shame the Spirit of God ought to be joy, peace, love. But that little old bug started eating on it. And he eats the joy, all the joy away. People would rather stay in an old state form of ungodly and different condition than put up a little wildfire. I know that scares some people plumb to death when you say wildfire. Brother, I'm going to tell you, very few times have I ever, I have saw it, but it's very few times. And I'll tell you tonight, you ain't got nothing to worry about. And in case you do see some, Brother Ram said he'd rather have some than none. There's folks around our message that don't even make good Bible tears. They don't even make good Bible tears, Brother Junior. Because my Bible tells me that when the rain come down, the wheat raised its head up and praised the Lord. And when the rain fell down, the tares raised their head up and praised the Lord. Some folks around our message are so dead, they don't even make good Bible tears. Because when the rains pour out, the tares and the wheat worship God. Whoa, glory to God. Hallelujah. Remember, Christ is the true church. It is a continuation of the book of Acts. So what we got to do is go back to the book of Acts and find out how they acted. Anyway, the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come in. Ooh, Lord God, touch this computer. It won't die on me. Come into the church to file it, make it lukewarm, formal, and... Now watch. Because when you get lukewarm, you become formal. And when you become formal, you can only become powerless. Don't you see? We are living in the book of Revelations tonight. And these are the things that you and I have to guard against. We have to guard against becoming lukewarm. He's not saying we don't go to church. He's just saying we don't press through when we get there. Come on, somebody. Formal. Powerless. Oh, how Satan would love to make us a bunch of church. A whole church full of lukewarm, formal, powerless believers. But sis, I'm not talking about jumping pews every service. You got to understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about participating. And God has got His people's like a great bouquet. We have all been made different. God don't want you acting like me, and I guarantee I ain't gonna act like some of you. That slipped out before I could ever even catch it. I was trying to stop it, but it just came right out. Hey, I know nobody wants to act like this, but listen, friends, it's called stimulation from revelation. You sit and you drink on it all week. I've sat behind my desk. I drank on this since Sunday night last week. I left the house one time to come to church Wednesday. And you expect me to drink on this all week and not have some stimulation behind it? Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. We don't have to jump pews every service. But the Bible said enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with praise. God wants us to jump, we'll jump. God wants us to cry, we'll cry. God wants us to sit quietly, we'll sit quietly. Whatever He wants to do, I want to do it. Amen, somebody. Because if not, them bones was dead. No life. And Ezekiel was preaching to a dead church. Amen. No life in them. Can you imagine Israel allowing themselves to get to this place, getting to such a low estate that they're full of bones? Jesus warned about this happening in Matthew 23:27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed you appear beautiful on the outward, but you're within full of dead men's bones. Whew. Man, that's good. The Pharisees decorated the tombs, painted them white to make them look good. They adorned them and decorated them. But on the inside, spiritually, they was like the tombs in the graveyard. They got everything that looks right on the outside. Come on, somebody. But on the inside, it's full of dead men's bones. No eternal life, no seed of God, just lukewarm, formal, powerless. Amen. And that's what every age has done. Yes. On the outside, these denominations tell us, well, we believe the Godhead. But you look on the inside of their doctrine, it's Trinitarianism. Amen. Dead men's bones. They say they believe in water baptism. And when you look on the inside of their teaching, they baptize you in titles. Come on, somebody. Water baptism on the outside, dead man's bones on the inside. Amen. What are they? Whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Can I bring it home tonight? Message names over the doors on the outside, but thunders on the inside. Dead men's bones. Come on, somebody. Message name over the outside, but two soul on the inside. Message title over the door, but return ministry on the inside. Whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Dead men preaching about dead men. Woof. Glory! Woof. If you're an evangelist, I'm trying to catch up. Just hang on. Ezekiel saw bones. And what happens is, around our message, we can get everything on the outside to look right. Get your hair right. Get your clothes right. Get your house right. Have the right pictures on your walls. Have the right books on your bookshelf. But brother, if you ain't on the inside, what's on the outside? Jesus said, you're just a hypocrite. I heard Brother Ramsey say the other day, he said, I preach against this and preach against that. And if you do it just because I preach against you, it does you no good. Hallelujah! Outside we line everything up, on the inside, dead men's bones. Param tells us that that bug kept eating at this tree. Satan's army ate at this tree until it ate it down to a stump. Brother, you can't express nothing when you're just a stump, because you ain't got no limbs. Free somebody. And the enemy has invaded the church, making them lukewarm, and cause them to become mossback, starchy, cold, dead Christians. The signs of a dead church. Brother Ram was riding across the hills one night, hunting for an old bear. Finally found him. It got dark on him. So I rode along and come over an old burn over, which means it had been burnt over, but the trees were still standing. Excuse me. There's a lot of old trees that have been burnt down. Some from some forest fire years ago. Come on, somebody. A fire had happened, but it burned them up years ago. But they were still standing in the church. I mean, in the grove. All the pine, big, tall, swaying trees was all burnt down. Just a big bunch of bleached, white looking trees. White sepulchers! White bones, Ezekiel saw. White looking trees standing, the moon shining down on them. Notice it's nighttime and the moon is shining on them. Glory. Oh, it looked like a graveyard with them big old white tombstones. Woo, glory. Something on the other's Holy Spirit seemed to say to me, just stop. And my old horse is getting tired anyhow. I looked around him, old limb laying there. And I got up on a log and looked around. I said, God, I don't know why I'm up here, but you got something here for me. I just kept watching. I hear the wind coming. You know, when it blows against them old trees, they moan. They don't shout. They don't talk in tongues. They moan. We don't like that. We don't like this. We don't like that. We don't like this. We don't care for this. We don't care for that. Moan! Glory to God. Somebody help me tonight. They moan! Can you imagine that being your experience at church? What did you do at church tonight? I moaned. Sounds like you moved. And just as the Holy Spirit spoke to me and gave me this scripture, what the palmers left, the caterpillars eating, what the caterpillars left, the cankerworms eating. And I thought, yes, it came to me that one time, these was great fine green trees. But the fire has burned all of the life out of them. And I thought, that's true. What the Baptists left, the Methodists eat, what the Pentecostals eating. I thought, oh my, it's all stripped down. And I thought, what's the matter with them old trees? Now here's their problem. They're too... Everybody knows what starch is. It's fine if you want to use it on your clothes, but don't make it a part of your soul. Why don't you bend with that wind? The wind's blowing and they just moaning. I thought, what a spooky looking sight. Reminds me of some of these great big old high steeple churches around different places, just as dead as they can be. What's the matter? What one's left, the other's eaten. It's all cut down. I looked over the scripture and said, but I'll restore, saith the Lord. What a hard word is that? The wind started blowing. I thought, what's the use of sending the wind if they're going to act like that? I'm going to say it again. Why would God send it service after service after service? And we just moan about it. Oh, glory to God. Oh, my. Notice what he says. Notice, friends. It's them old cold dead trees. And Brother Ram said back there, oh, my. What word is that? The wind start blowing. They use the word the wind. Going to act like that. And I thought, look down underneath there. And there was something that was coming up. It was a bunch of undergrowth. And I call it in the world today back was something like that. But they was green. Flexible. Every time the wind would hit them, they'd just sway back and forth. And they would frolic as hard as they could. And I said, praise God. I will restore, saith the Lord. Though they be blown, there is coming from heaven a sound of a rushing mighty wind called the Holy Ghost. And all those big old cold formal churches could do is holler in days of miracles is past. There's no such thing as divine healing. It's of the devil. Don't believe it. Don't you go there. But God's got growth coming on. I will restore, saith the Lord. Notice true vine. All of this form of glory will return to it again. Hallelujah! And all that was in the first place will come back. And I thought, what does God send the wind for anyhow? He sends the wind to shake the trees. And every time you shake a tree, it loosens the root, causes it to grow deeper and deeper. Every time the Holy Ghost falls in the church. Come on, somebody. In an old fashioned, not modernistic, old fashioned revival. It shakes up the roots like this so it can get rooted and grounded, ready for the storms and trials as they come upon the earth. May there be somebody tonight who is not ashamed of letting their roots get a little bit loose so they can get a little better hold. There's prophecy concerning these trees. Satan thought he had this whole thing burned over. He thought he had this church all taken out and finished up. And God had something coming up underneath them. Brother, you can't keep a seed of God down. You can't put a thick enough concrete over a seed of God. He'll find a way up. Because what God's planted, God will bring to pass. There's prophecy concerning these bones. Come on, somebody. I said the underbrush is coming up. Young trees, saplings, that's the bride. Remember when Brother Ram said he saw the stars lined up, he said it's a sign of the infant bride approaching. But brother, it's not 1965 no more. Come on, somebody. Amen. What's he preaching against? Old deadheads that settles for an experience that happened 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago and are afraid to let the wind come and blow around your limbs a little bit. Visible union. A true picture of the modern day church. Neither does the modern day church want any of these here screaming, shouting. We're going to skip the next one. Tongue speaking Acts 2:38 youngins around here. That's what the modern church don't want, but that ain't what we want. She don't want any of them whooping and crying and screaming, amen and hallelujah. Why such a child would immediately be put out of her denomination. They had one like that, one of these churches, I'd throw her out right quick. Why are you letting that stuff go on? You see, she is pregnant with something because she's bringing forth members. Cold, dead, formal members. She don't want none of them screaming, hollering, blabbering. Acts 2:38, miserable creatures. She thinks they are. It would embarrass her. It would ruin her educated, ethical... Boy, don't you? Can't he just preach? Scientific Society Church she belonged to here, they throw her out the next council. She can't handle it. She don't want to be pregnant, Lord, because that's the only kind that the Word can bring forth. That's the only kind. So if God's going to give birth to another seed of God, it's got to come the way the original seeds come. Born of the Spirit. It has the Spirit of God in it. No intellectual jerk, snoring, creed, going, bobbing hair, painting face. There's no such a thing in that at all of it. You don't find that in the Word of God. You find an old-fashioned, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled church born of the Spirit of God. Screaming. Hollering. You know what he's telling them? They don't want people getting in the Spirit. Because they want to control the reaction of the people. But the problem is, you can't handcuff God. They tried to handcuff him in the grave one time and he resurrected. Glory! Look at these words he used. Scream, shout, tongue speaking, whooping, crying, screaming amen, hollering, blabbering. Now there's a couple of these words I didn't know what they meant, so I went ahead and looked them up for you. Whooping. A loud cry of exultation or excitement. A shout uttered by a warrior. To utter a loud shout or cry. To call out, to urge on. You know, like, amen. To express joys with noisy celebrations. Hallelujah! Not some cold, stagnant church. Noisy celebrations. It means to cheer. I don't make a good cheerleader, so I'm not going to go any further than that. But the next word, squall. Squall. Make high-pitched noises to utter a sudden loud cry. You'll never be mistaken for squalling a whooping sitting there with your arms folded. Amen, somebody. Amen. Well, Brother David, I got news for you. Jesus was never emotional. No, but everything he touched did. Jesus would come on the scene and whatever he touched got emotional. Everything he touches gets emotional. It may not all be the same way, but if you get touched from Jesus, you will be emotional. Well, Brother David, see, that's the difference. I'm just not emotional. That's a cop-out tonight. Stub your toe before you go to bed and tell me you're not emotional. Hit your thumb with a hammer and tell me you're not emotional. It just depends on what you get emotional about. Some people, I sell at the mall, they get emotional. You let Black Friday come around and see if people don't get emotional. Brother, they don't care how long how late the service lasts. I mean, how long they have to stay up. Woo! Praise the Lord, somebody. Brother, this is greater than a bargain at Walmart. This is greater than a bargain at Kmart. This is eternal life tonight. If you're going to get excited about something, make sure it's got eternal value behind it. Well, I just don't believe in shouting. Well, Jesus descended with a shout. Does that offend you? Shouting runs in my family. All my brothers have been shouters. I'm talking about spiritually. Moses was a shouter. David was a shouter. And he still is tonight. Amen. Let me close. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, said, God, they're white. They're dead. Looks like they're twice plucked up by the roots. The only person that knows whether these bones can live is you. Amen, somebody. You know what God was asking him? Is the resurrection power in them bones. Come on, somebody. I will restore, saith the Lord. Can these bones be resurrected? Can they be quickened from the dead? Can they come back to life? And again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Say unto them, you dry bones. You dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Notice the prophet was preaching the word of the Lord. And it was the people's obligation, the bones' obligation to hear the word of the Lord. Because Paul said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen, somebody. Well, brother, what if it don't work? It has to work. Paul said in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul, the spirit, and the joints to the marrow of the... Can it do it? Oh, yes, it can do it. Can it pierce? Oh, yes, it can pierce. The prophet's word can pierce to the inside the bone. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Verse 5. Behold, I will cause breath to enter to you and you shall live. So before the bones ever come back to life, he was already prophesying to them, you're going to come back to life. I will restore, saith the Lord. I will lay sinews upon you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I'm the Lord. Isn't it amazing? He's having to remind them who he is. When I bring you out of your cold, dead state, I want you to know who's the one that did it for you. When you're discouraged and somebody picks you up, I want you to know who does it. When you feel like that you ain't going to go another mile, I want you to know who brings you back in. I'm the Lord. And you shall know that I'm the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. So he was commissioned to prophesy. So he went back to Jeffersonville and prophesied. And as I prophesied, the bones just folded their arms. They just nodded their heads. They just fell asleep. I don't like this, but David, I don't like where this is going. Hang on, you ain't gonna like this rest of it either. There was a noise. Behold! A little bit of shaking going on. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. So when the prophet began to speak, the waves she'd come by, there was a noise. Isn't it amazing? Where the supernatural's poured out, there's always a noise. Let's take a tour for just 1 minute. Joshua 6:10. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither stand in your mouth until the day I bid you to shout, and then you shall shout." And it came to pass on the seventh time of the seven church age, on the last time around Laodicea, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the bride, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." So the people folded their arms and got quiet. They got mad because somebody got excited. And the Bible said the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down so flat that the people went up into the city and every man straight before him, and they took the city. The book of Samuel says when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, a noise! A shout! They said, "What meaneth this noise? What's going on in Happy Valley Church?" A bunch of Pentecostals. That's their problem. They've never got out of Pentecost yet. No, he took us back to the original faith of the apostolic Pentecostal fathers. Not denomination, experience. I said, "Why in the world does Happy Valley get so excited about the Word of God?" And the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews, and they understood that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp. And watch the devil. He got afraid, for they said, "God's in the camp." And they said, "Well, unto us, for there had not been such a thing. We've never seen the word like that. We don't understand the Godhead. We don't understand marriage and divorce. We don't understand all them thunders. You talk about pulls and thunders and earthquakes. We don't understand that." And the more you don't have understanding, the more fear you get. First Chronicles, "Thus all the Israel brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and the sound of a cornet with trumpets, with cymbals, making hay, noise, and psalteries and harps. It came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing." Isn't it amazing when she looked at it and said, "Well, he's just out there playing. He looks like a kid. He's just out there dancing around like he's a teenager." And when that old moss back church member, which is what Brother Ram typed her as, when she saw David doing this, that old church member, she despised him in her heart. Lord knows we'd never say it from our mouth because unless it get repeated, we get put on the carpet. But we think it in our hearts. Revelation 6:1. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were a thunder. And one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" Because when there's noise going on, everybody starts looking around going, "What was that noise? What in the world was that?" And this is what they heard. The reason why they're excited is because Revelation 5:7, "He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne." Verse 8, "And when he had taken the book, four beasts, 420 elders, they fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of those which in the presence of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You're worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Sing with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing. I love verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, such as the sea, and all that therein, heard I sing. I didn't care if the animals heard it. I didn't care if the world heard it. I didn't care who heard it. Because I realized I looked to see a lion which represents judge. But when I turned to see a lion, I saw a lamb. Not just a lamb that had been slain. And when I saw that book, I saw my name. And when he saw his name, hallelujah. And when John began to get excited, the 20 elders, not youngins, elders fell down. Not on mossback Christians, elders began to worship him. John says, I see bones, but I'm going to prophesy. Every bone had a position. And one bone can't take another bone's place. Amen, somebody. How would you like to see this vision when the bones started coming together? The prophecy of the word brought the bones back to their position. And that's where the church has been for 2,000 years. Up one day, down the next. One age are up, next age are down. They're up and they're down. Until finally, it was just scattered over. But he said, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Amen, somebody. And when the prophet got here for a few years, there was first pull and second pull. Amen. He began to throw the bait on the hook out there and reel it back in. And a bunch of these little fish began to look at that bait. And man, they wanted it so bad. And the preachers around said they wanted to do the gift so bad, but they couldn't do it. Amen. But when the angel taught him how to catch big rainbow trout, first pull couldn't do it. Second pull couldn't do it. It took something with the right size bait to catch you from the right place. Amen, somebody. And about that time, a fishbone jumped on the hook. And every bone, how'd you like to saw? Remember, John's cut up above these bones. It was a great valley. And the bones begin to move. And they begin to find their place. And this one, you may have been plumb out here in Arizona. And God brought you all the way across the valley, all the way over the hills, till you got right over to Johnson City. And you found your place. Thank you, Lord. That's just right out of the skillet right there. Some may have been in Canada, some down in the south, some over the east, some in the west. But the bones begin to come together. One bone connecting to the other bone. Every bone has its place. Brother, that's what we need in our church. We need people that's got real bones. Some people's got good knee bones so they can pray. We need a preacher that's got a backbone so he can tell us the truth. Hallelujah. And we need the skull bone, the mind of Christ. Ooh, glory to God. I gotta quit. Oh, hallelujah. Every bone come to their place. Bone to his bone. Flesh to his flesh. Life to his life. Spirit to his spirit. What's happening, Brother David? The bride, the church, the bride is being supernaturally resurrected. And it started from the feet. They come up past the ankles, right up to the knees, right up on down, until finally you come to the shoulders. And finally God sent us the mouthpiece. And the mouthpiece come up to the eyes. And the eyes on the mouth told us about the mind of God. Until finally there wasn't nothing but a skeleton standing there. My God knows how to put bones together. What about sin? You God can put flesh on bones. Abraham was up on a mountain one day. Going to kill Isaac. There was no ram around. So God created him one. And he put bone to bone. And flesh to flesh. And horn to horn to make sure he got caught in those bushes. Because once God got a hold of him, he didn't want to let him loose. one day there's a prophet in the hills of Kentucky. And God said, what are you hunting? Squirrels. Well, tell them what you're hunting.
Amen.
And he said, let there be. Little bones come together and materialized. Flesh come upon it and a long tail and whiskers. There was a squirrel. Why, Brother David? Prophecy. The word went forth and the word has supernatural creative power behind it. Why would God allow it? He's letting you know there's nothing going to keep this bride from losing. As Christ was the first one to raise from the dead of the prophet, so forth. Although tied to many places, he was the first fruits of those that slept. And the bride coming to Christ, coming out of the church, there'll have to be a sheep waved again in the last days. Waving the sheep, what's the sheep? It's the first one that come to maturity. It was the first bone that stood on his feet. Notice, what was the waving sheep? The first one, he proved it was wheat. It proved it was a sheep. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It was waved over the people for the first time. They'll come forth for the bride age. For a resurrection. They was dead bones. So they had to be resurrected. And he resurrected you and I. Is that what Paul said? You who were sometimes dead and afar off. Hallelujah! He resurrected us. And Brother Ram said, first time to come for the bride age for a resurrection out of dark denominationalism will be a message that the full maturity of the word is turned back again in its full power, being weighed over the people by the same signs and wonders he did back there. Because I live, you shall live also. Speaking to his bones, his wife. Because I live, and what a resurrection that was. Catch it now. And what a resurrection this is. Quickened from the dead. To be made alive in Christ Jesus by God's quickening power. We have to put stress on mechanics and nothing on the dynamics. It needs the dynamics power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to come upon the church to manifest and bring it to pass. This gasoline, it might be gasoline can, could still be water, but the only proof it is, put this life on it. And it'll prove what it is. Whether it's gasoline or not. And when you try to put the Holy Spirit in a denomination, you're as much trying, you can sputter and you'll ruin that engine getting full of carbon. Amen. And before long, that'll be a dead block, a dead engine. Amen, somebody. And a dead engine ain't good to nobody. It won't get you nowhere. But I'm glad there's 10,000 octane power in the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost to light it up, the resurrected power of God into a man's life, a woman's life, into a church that shoved that Cadillac down the road yonder under the dynamic power of the Holy Ghost, which come back and was waved over the people the day of Pentecost, making him the same yesterday and forever. That was the first sheaf come up of all the prophets, which was the Son of God, the King of the prophets. There's been churches, churches, bones, bones, and bones, and bones. But there's coming one up from the grave. There's been churches, 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 bride, brides, churches, brides, brides, but there has got to come one. Amen. There has to be a real bride. There must come one that's not only got the mechanics, but the dynamics that make the church alive, move in the power of his resurrection. Until we come to that place, until we find that place. Watch, last quote, I'm quitting, let our music players come. The dynamics of this church. Come on, somebody. The dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Ghost. And we've worked under a small measure while the headstone, the bone, the brain, the skull has been descending upon the bride. And when the headstone is coming down, it will unite the body together. And when that head body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost is going to raise. Let's raise up tonight. Let's stand on our feet. The full power of the Holy Ghost would raise her up just exactly like that. Even the dead that's in Christ for hundreds of years ago will rise in the beauty of his holiness. I love this next part. And take a flight to the skies. The dynamics is the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our hearts if you would. The dynamics is the Holy Spirit. But brother, if you ain't got no dynamics, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, your car ain't going nowhere. You can't go nowhere. What I find, the more I travel around our message, churches are getting colder and colder and colder. I sat in a place not too long ago, And I wrote this down in my notepad. Why I refuse to be a dead church. I refuse to be a dead church. People keeps getting colder and colder. But if you don't believe that, you need to come travel with me for a few months. I promise you, when you get back to Happy Valley Church, you'll be so thankful of what God does right here in this building. If you don't believe it, just come and ride with me for a little while. You'll be thankful that God pours His Spirit out in your spirit. Come here, somebody's got some amen in their lungs. Amen. Somebody don't care to worship God a little bit, get free, let the Spirit of God come down and have His way. But I tell you, that's what we need. We need a shaking among us tonight. We need the Holy Ghost to fall in our church, fall in our midst, fall in our lives tonight. We need Him to shake us. We need the dynamics of God to shake this church tonight. Happy Valley! You need shock tonight. Bone to bone, life to life, spirit to spirit. Make sure that you got the dynamics tonight. Make sure when this church leaves and the rapture's gone, make sure you don't show up and you're the only one here. The signs of a dead church. Cold, stale, stagnant. No move of God. No move of the Spirit. No amens. No glory to God. Nobody cares about what happened. We just come to church. We listen. We don't care about worshiping afterwards. We hear the preaching. We go home. We get in just a routine. This is what we do. It's got to be more than that, friends. It's got to be a relationship. Let Him minister to you tonight. Would you just let Him minister to you just for a moment? Don't worry about what anything else is going to happen besides this moment right here. God, I want to make sure that when the bones come together, Lord, I want to make sure I'm in my place, in my position. Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, You see every person in this building tonight, Lord. What a great hour to be living. Lord, it's too late to miss it. It's too late of an hour to be playing games. It's too late of an hour to become lax and relaxed and cold. Amen. It's too late of an hour to wait till the next revival. It's too late of an hour to wait for somebody else to come that maybe is going to set us on fire. I pray tonight. May the church realize they're the keeper of the flame. They've got to know. They've got to know their responsibility tonight. If I could do it for them, I would. If somebody else could do it for them, I'm sure they would. But it's every person's responsibility tonight. Lord, amen. I don't preach this to make us emotional. I preach this to make sure we've got that original Holy Ghost that Satan ain't handed to some substitute and some excuse and we just keep right on going by. I pray, Lord, if we're going to do it, if we're going to sacrifice, if we're going to come to church, if we're going to put all of our time into it, make sure we didn't sell out for the wrong thing, a substitute. I pray, God, what kind of a shame would it be for somebody to get to the end of the way and Satan sold them a substitute? They thought they had it, thought they had everything right, but they never pressed through to really get that real, true, born again Holy Ghost experience. I pray, Lord, I pray for every person in this building, every mom, every dad, every young person, every young man, every young woman. I pray, Father, make it more than just emotion, make it more than sensation. Make it more than just coming to church. Lord, You know the way I feel. The more I travel, I see people, they're just religious. They just took away whatever the old ideal, whatever creeds they had, and they took like message books, but they ain't never went nowhere with it. Oh God, what a shame. If somebody wouldn't press through and give everything they got when they're so close to the original. Oh God, I pray, help us. Help every one of us. Help me tonight, Lord. Help us all, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You love Him tonight. I will praise the Lord no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store. Amen. You love Him with all of your heart. How many wants the original flame? Brother, don't be scared of it. It ain't something to be scared of. It's something to be thankful for tonight. And I know that I'm gonna praise the Lord. Help me now. Yes, I'm gonna praise the Lord, no matter what. I don't care what happens. I don't care what anybody says. I'm the keeper of the flame tonight. Oh, I said that I'm gonna praise the Lord. I'm gonna praise. Just worship me now.
I'm going to pray. Oh, let's sing it now. Oh, I said I'm going to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. I might be in the valley, but I'm going to praise you tonight. What tomorrow brings. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to serve the Lord. Oh, I said that I'm going to serve the Lord. Oh, yes, I'm going to serve the Lord. No matter what. Sing it, Brother Harry. Hallelujah. Lord, I worship you tonight. I worship you because you're my King. You're my healer. You're my deliverer. Oh, yes, I
will praise the Lord.
I got a chance.
Oh, I will praise the
Lord.
No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store.
I'm going to love the Lord. Yes, now I want to love the Lord. I'll worship Him tonight. I'm talking about your Savior, your healer, your redeemer.
Tomorrow brings,
yes,
what it has in store. I will love.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, I'm telling you He can, and I know that He'll stand right by my side when this world comes tumbling in. I said that no one has ever done. Just lift up both of his dying hands with teardrops in his eyes. With his loved ones gathered all around, he just smiled and said, don't you fear, 'cause the God that's brought us just this far, lead us on out of here. Amen. And I'm telling you, He can. I know that He'll stand right by my side. And who can give a barren woman a child and prove all the doctors wrong? Well, who can bring Lazarus back from the grave, give him the power to speak? He's put a sword in your hand, revealed his mighty plans, give you everything that you need. And I said that He can. I know He'll stand right by my side when this world comes tumbling in. And I said,
You believe that? He ain't just here. He's resurrected here back in the fullness of His power. One morning that power will creep more than just squirrels. It'll change our bodies one day. You believe that? Why? Revival's going on tonight. You believe that? Brother, I don't see anything going on. You say revival, I don't see anything. You don't know what's going on in here tonight. That artesian well, just like it was in Mexico, it's pouring over the pulpit, running out through the congregation, running out through the aisle, running over the organ, the guitar, the drums, and the bass. It's right through the building tonight! Won't you sing Rising Up tonight? Not an Old Testament church, a New Testament church. She's back! Let me change the title of my sermon for a minute. She's back. She's back exactly the way the prophet said she would be. Hallelujah! There's signs and wonders following her! Brothers and sisters, we're not out here looking for signs and wonders and this and that and the other. The Bible said these signs will follow them that believe. Amen. Sing it, Brother Harry. Whew, I gotta quit. We gotta go. What time is it? Well, bless God anyway.
As I look out across the land,
sing it now.
I see God's mighty hand
speaking to those bones.
A bride of Christ adorned in her wedding gown.
Prophet's word,
just like in the days of old.
Glory!
They stood encouraged, bold.
Encouraged.
They turned that old world
Ephesus,
upside
summer,
down.
Right here, nowhere to go. They ought to see it.
We're rising up.
Yes, she is. She is rising up.
There's a New Testament
oh,
church.
Oh, if you're one of them tonight, let the devil know.
We're rising up.
Hallelujah.
Rising up. There's a New Testament church.
Rising. Hallelujah.
She's rising up. Done by the apostles' hands. Demon spirits were cast out.
Amen.
In the jail they sing and shout while surrounded by God's holy angel band.
Oh, I'll sing it, brother, now. Sing it.
But if you think it's all long gone, all the miracles are done.
Oh, come on, somebody.
I have some good news to bring
speaking
you.
Speaking to your promise, I will know.
In this last day's impulse.
Glory, it's swift.
In this last day's impulse. Of your spirit,
Lord.
Like a mighty eagle string. Testament church.
She's rising up.
She's rising up.
Oh, she
rising up.
In the name of the Lord.
There's a New Testament church.
Oh,
church, a fully restored bride rising up.
I say hallelujah.
She's rising
up. Glory. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Glory be to God. Oh, God. This is where I get in trouble when it goes to moving like this. Well, the devil don't like no singing going on around here. No, the devil don't like no singing going on around here.
my God tonight. The devil don't like no singing going. No, he don't. Oh, well, the devil don't like no shout going on around here. Amen. Oh, the devil don't like no shout going on around here. Oh, I don't care what the devil don't like. I want to sing and shout tonight. The devil don't like no singing going. Somebody help me just a minute. Let's lift our hands. Let's lift our voice. Hallelujah. Let everything that has breath, let them praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, God. Go home, go home, go home. Stay here, stay here, stay here. Oh, praise be to God. You realize prophecy's moving in the building tonight. He may not have saw it. Bones was and God was putting skin. And now the prophecy didn't only bring the bones together, but the prophecy's been made flesh. Glory to God, hallelujah. The word has been made flesh tonight. It's living. It's breathing. It's screaming amen. It's saying hallelujah. She's back, brother. I could preach now the signs of a living bride. What is it? Those that's waving can't wait to get out of here. Lord, is it one more day? Is it two more days? You just keep going on. The next morning you're looking for it. The next morning you're looking for it. If it don't happen, hopefully it happens in the morning. If it not, I'll look for it the next morning. One day, the final part of that prophecy, the dynamics of this church, we'll leave here, brother and sister. Oh, praise be to God. I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. Hallelujah. You are my end. Praise be to God.